Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Even in the stratosphere of normalcy. Welcome to One Bills Live. It's Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Got an entertaining show lined up for you today, which we will get to in a second in terms of the lineup and some of the things we'll be discussing today. But we are steadily turning the page to the AFC title game between the Bills and Chiefs. And as many of you know, these two teams faced each other once before back in Week 6. Interesting note here, Steve, that I just found out today. The Bucs and the Packers are obviously playing each other in the NFC title game this weekend. They also played each other in Week 6. Bucks kind of a weird scheduling anomaly.
Bucs blew them out.
Yes. Yes, they did. Rodgers did not have a great game.
Yeah, they scored first, or they thought that. I think they scored first, but Bills lost by 9 to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And it was like, what was it, 30 to 10 or something like that? What was that game?
You're talking about the Bucs game?
The Bucs game.
Yeah, I don't remember the score off the top of my head, but yeah, it was not pretty.
Let's see if I can find it. Of course I can find it.
Well, yeah, you know, the internet, the magic of the internet these days.
I've got it right here.
Mine's taking a while to load.
There it is, 38-10.
Oof.
38-10, the Tampa Bay Bucs crushed the Green Bay Packers.
I think you...
26-17, Bills Chiefs.
Right. I think you can make the argument that the Bucs might be the more well-rounded team than the Packers. More talent across the board. But I will say that that Packers defense is coming on here in the postseason.
That team looks a lot like the Bills team, the way it's the big picture, where they're you know, they got the quarterback that's carrying them, MVP kind of candidate, yada, 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 with that big one receiver, Devontae Adams, and then the defense kind of found itself late.
Yeah, I don't think their receiving core goes as deep as Buffalo's.
No, I would say no.
Their defense, though, is interesting to me. Mike Pettine, a former coordinator here in Buffalo, is running that side of the ball for the Packers, and the combination of Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith is impressive. The way he moves those two chess pieces around the front seven, really effective, and they have been coming on as of late. So that's going to be a compelling game. It'll be a nice leadoff on the weekend because that game is first before the Bills play the Chiefs in Kansas City second. So, yes, everybody, I'm sure, looking forward to championship weekend. It's one of my favorite football weekends of the entire year. I do enjoy it more than the Super Bowl. First of all, you got two games, not one. And it's the chance to go to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you're just you're laying it
if
all
you're in it, it's your favorite day. Yeah, are you kidding me? Of course it's your favorite day because we're in it. But
I just think it's like it on the line, football at its core.
I'll tell you this, though. I'm telling you, mark my words, wild card super weekend.
I'm a big fan of that one.
May become a national holiday in this country. That weekend may have to be set aside as a national holiday because it is the absolute best. Absolute best. Six standalone games.
It's pretty good.
You tell me the NFL isn't the 800-pound gorilla in television programming?
Hard to beat.
Man, oh, man. It's been so fun.
To beat.
And even last weekend, the games were awesome. You know, the Bills in it and you know, the Packers, Bucks, the Browns, all of that stuff. It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
It's amazing that we're here. We talk every so often it hits me. I can't believe they got all these games in.
Well, right. Yeah, with the pandemic you're talking about. I thought you were initially talking about it's amazing that the Bills are here. Which is still not an easy thing to do either. The funny thing was the coordinators were doing their press conferences yesterday, as they do every Monday after games. And I had to chuckle because Brian Daboll was dead serious when he said this. But the way it came out of his mouth, I couldn't help but laugh. So somebody was asking him about you know, the focus that you need to have this week and all of that. And he said, look, we take this very seriously because this is probably the most important game a lot of our players and coaches have played in. He said, it's hard to get here. He goes, it's hard to get here.
Yeah.
Then in the net, literally the next sentence, he goes, this is my 9th conference championship game, and I can tell you it's hard to get here. And I'm like, you've been to 9 of them. What do you mean?
I'll tell you what, too.
But that guy's saying it's hard to get there.
Don't discount this either. That's there's a lot of things that – it's incredibly difficult to win in the NFL because it's incredibly complicated to put together what you need. There's a gazillion moving parts.
Well, yeah.
People, personalities, roles that they have to play, a coaching staff with multi-layers of responsibilities, a player, a roster that has to come through and then stay healthy enough or get healthy enough or be deep enough to overcome it, an ownership group, facilities, fans, the whole thing has to come together.
Yeah.
In a league where
everybody's doing that.
Everybody's doing that with the same amount of resources.
Yeah.
It is incredibly difficult to get there. And this is why in a year like this, when Daboll now, it looks like he's going to be here for another year. Think about it. McDermott, you've been to 9 of these? Okay. What do we need to do to get our players ready to play?
Well,
right?
Don't forget, McDermott's been to a handful of these, too.
Exactly. You're going to all these guys. What do we think is the most thing? What do you think is the most important thing for our team to be at? What kind of mindset?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think? Right? And then, okay, let's do that. Here's our plan. Right? The experience of having been to so many, and even in recent years, is priceless at this point.
Right. And a lot of the guys on the Bills coaching staff have been to these games. A lot of the guys on the Chiefs coaching staff.
They've all been there. They were there last year.
Oh, yeah, right.
But I think when you go to 9.
9 is stupid.
You got to start drawing some comparing contrasts, right?
I think Dable's only been an NFL coach for 20 years. And 9 times he's got. Come on, man.
And they hired him. It's like, well, he's never really been successful as a coordinator. Like, you know, he's the guy that called the play when Tua came in as a true freshman in the national championship game at halftime.
Yeah,
he's the guy that called that play. He's the guy that called the play down the sideline that Tua threw for the national championship.
He loves shot plays. He likes dialing them up.
That gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's funny because I came in and I was – it's a Tuesday, you know. God, the players are off. They're not practicing today. And we're in championship week. I'm just like –
I think they're actually doing walkthrough stuff today. They're getting ready.
I want to know what happened. The injury report's going to be incredibly important this week. I want to know what happened to Gabe Davis. He was struggling.
Ankle.
He was struggling.
Yeah. His ankle got caught under the defender that was trailing on that touchdown pass. That's where he rolled it.
Right.
On the touchdown pass that he couldn't hang on to.
Right.
And he limped off the field there.
He gutted through the rest of the game.
We also saw Devin Singletary grabbing his hamstring at the end of the game and coming off. I'm hoping that was just cramps.
I'm thinking that looked like cramps to me because he didn't even get looked at by them.
Right.
They came out, walked him off, and he kept. His leg was trying to keep straight.
Straight, you know, right. Like, and if you've ever had a cramp.
His body language was screaming, I got cramped.
If you've ever had a cramp in your hamstring, that is real, man.
Here's the thing, too. Everything's different now. Everything evolves quick, you know. And they stay, the sports science, you know, the guys here at One Bills Drive, those guys are on the tip of the spear in sports science. So he comes off the field with those cramps. And they give him this little vial of some sort of, like, elixir.
I'm sure it's got a more professional name than that, Steve.
They're giving him this stuff like that. Here, take a little of this. Your cramps will go away.
Turning the athletic training staff into snake oil.
It's like that guy. It's like that Geico commercial where we got Griselda. She's cooking for us.
Yeah.
And she comes with that little vial of stuff that's smoking out the top like that witch's brew. Here, drink this. Yeah. You know?
Good Lord.
Right?
Yeah.
What are they giving those guys? Because I'll tell you this. There is quick ways to get electrolytes into your system.
Well, yeah.
But
they have those Gatorade chews, I know.
Yes. They also have those little tabs. You remember they used to do it with Listerine and stuff, the little thing, your little strip.
Oh, the lick tabs.
Yeah, the tabs. You stick it on the side of your mouth. That gets the stuff
right in your bloodstream.
In quick, like 20 seconds or 2 minutes. But, you know, they come over here, get the elixir.
Yeah.
And it got this, and it was like weird colored.
Oh.
right? I was like, ooh.
Like forest green or something?
Right. It was like black. Oh. Like, it was like, looked like, you know, looked like Guinness. Right? You know? I mean, it's like.
I could guarantee like a, it's not that.
Like a Sullivan's Dark Ale or something, right? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's for me, I was like,
yeah. So that I was interest. I saw him coming off and I was like, oh, I hope that's just cramps. Because immediately I thought about, you know, the hamstring injury he had as a rookie in the Giants game in week two in 2019. And you already know you're down Zach Moss. So there was a little cause for concern there. So hopefully he is no worse for wear. But, man, you get those big muscle cramps. You want to straighten your leg out so fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you get them in the calf and you got to flex your heel, your toes up. And, right. Oh, my gosh. Those things.
Yeah, that it's.
It rough. Grabs you, man.
It's rough. Yeah, you're incapacitated. And who knows? I mean, if it is that, that's not a big deal.
No,
at all.
You just get hydrated and nothing. You're fine.
And if that would have happened in the first half, he gets a little IV and he's back for the second half, full go.
Yeah, there's not. Well, yeah, because there's enough time to do that at halftime. Yeah. Brian Daboll had he was asked several times yesterday about whether or not is he out of the mix now for head coaching jobs because the Eagles had expressed interest. We knew the door had closed on the Chargers job with it going to Brandon Staley, the former defensive coordinator of the L.A. Rams. So he goes across the street to the Chargers to be their head coach at age 38. Wow. So, you know, Brian Daboll was asked about that. And, you know, he had a statement that all but confirmed, yeah, I'm going to be with the Bills next year and I'm not looking at any more head coaching openings. So, he basically said this: I'm privileged and honored to be here and working for this organization. Everything that we have, it's important that we're focused on what we need to do this week, which is a big game against Kansas City. Humbled, honored to have some opportunities. The ultimate goal is to become a head coach one day, but that's not on the agenda right now for me. It's doing everything that I can to help our team be the best they can be this week. That's what it's always been. That's what it'll always be. So, I think that pretty much spells it out for everybody that, you know, he's looking at, I'm a Bills coach for 2021, which has to be music to the ears of Josh Allen and the offensive players. I mean, Cole Beasley, 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was asked about Brian Daboll, and, you know, it was kind of a softball lob question, like, tell us what you like about Brian Daboll. He goes, I'm not telling you anything because I don't want him to leave. I told him he can't leave. So you have to believe that the guys on the offensive side of the ball are – especially the ones that know they're going to be here next year, have to be happy to know he'll be back calling the plays again next season.
I thought about that, too, and I thought what it would mean as a player when you – for instance, we lost Teddy Marchibro to the offensive coordinator and Nick Nicolau as well after two Super Bowls. They went to the Indianapolis Colts. It was sad. They were guys that had been with us and helped us through some rough times. And, of course, Teddy was the architect of the no huddle. I mean, he got that thing up and running. In my mind, Ted Marchibroda deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for his brilliance as a coach. But to lose those guys, what it would have meant for us to get them back if we thought we were going to lose and they're coming back, and to find out they're coming back when you got a game left in the season, I think that's got to be a little boost of adrenaline for the guys on offense, thinking that this is going to be awesome, man.
Yeah.
Let's go play. It's going to be – you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not saying it's a big difference maker, that kind of mindset, but I think it does mean something to the
player. Two questions for you. First one is this. Daboll was asked each of the last 2 weeks, is this head coaching interest that teams are expressing in you a distraction, you know, for you preparing for these playoff opponents? He insisted it wasn't. He said he's able to separate things and – you know, put this on the shelf over here because we got to focus on this for the team that I'm still working for. And, you know, I think for all intents and purposes, most NFL coaches are capable of doing that. What about a distraction for the players? Knowing the prospect is there that your offensive play caller could be leaving. Does that even enter a player's mind, do you think, when that – I mean, I'm sure the rumors were circling back then when Marchibroda was probably in the mix for some head coaching jobs. I'm just curious if it gets in the head of a player, or are they just so resolutely focused on game plan that week, playoff game, that just supersedes everything and that
it's
stuff
a distraction.
Can't.
No, it's a distraction. You it think is. About okay. It. You worry about your own team and you're excited for your friend and teammate. You kind of consider coaches teammates, but you're excited for your friend and your coach.
and you're sitting there thinking, gosh, I wonder how he'll be as a head coach, and then all the time, and and I wonder what his philosophy will be or what that team's look like. And then you think about, okay, he, like Ted Marchibroda, is going to go over there and he's going to be working with, Jim Harbaugh or whoever that is at quarterback over there. And it's kind of Jack Tudor. I can't even remember the quarterbacks back then. It's like that. And by the time you're going through all this, you're thinking, oh, we're at practice.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the next rep. Yeah, I got to jump.
So it can be distracting.
It's very much distracting.
Okay.
And so it's, and I'm not saying it's a difference maker. I'm just saying it's one less thing that's pushing you where you want to go. So, that's the way it works.
Second question. When the play caller leaves, as Marchibroda did, even if the system remains intact for your team after that coach leaves to be a head coach somewhere else, you know the play calling is going to be different because it's a different person doing it. To what degree is that kind of a change? I mean, I suppose it depends on who's inheriting the job, but how much did it change?
Changed vastly.
Significantly,
the problem is this. You bring a guy in, and even if you're using the same terminology, what happened to us is we started to do some things differently and started to, well, the guy that leaves, the guy that comes in sometimes isn't as good.
Right.
And here's the thing, too, and Jim will tell you that when Ted left, Teddy had Jim Kelly getting better all the time. Jim felt like he was improving under Ted.
Right.
So you're getting better here, doing this, working hard here, doing this. Let's work on this a little bit. Let's think about this. Let's watch some film, and you see how you could do this differently. All that stuff. Jim felt that stopped when Teddy left. He felt like he was the same guy 3 years later as he was.
So he'd leveled off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he just stopped getting better. It wasn't like he didn't have any more in the tank. I mean, the guy was still young. He still had plenty of
player development wasn't the same.
Player development changed. And that's just one thing that could change under a different coordinator.
Right.
Another thing is this. Say we changed it again after a year or two, and we found out that teams struggled because we came out in that three wide, one tight, one back. We came out in 11 personnel constantly as the Bills.
Yeah.
Boom, let's go. And we found out through the grapevine and through other things that teams were scared to death of us starting motions and shifts. So we felt, well, let's come out and just and we started doing that. We couldn't get it done. They couldn't get it. They couldn't get it implemented, and we couldn't execute it the way we needed to execute it. And we struggled. We struggled as a result early until we went and said, forget it, we're not going to do that. Let's go back to what we did and kind of save the season that way. So there's all of those things can change, let alone the personal dynamics.
Right.
So
that's why I'm asking the question, because while it won't happen this year for the offensive side of the ball, it could very well happen at this time next year.
It's exactly like cooking a good dish.
Yeah,
you talk to foodies and people who are chefs and stuff. You're missing an ingredient. It ain't right.
Yeah.
It is not right. It's okay, but it's not good. It's not what it was.
Yeah.
And that's that chemistry, and it's chemistry. It's what it is. It's a recipe that everything has to come together. And every recipe can be different. The Chiefs' recipe is different than the Bills' recipe at the Packers and the Bucks, the Browns, all these teams. They can win and they can be great, but it's like comparing a good steak to a perfect salmon fillet. They're completely different, but they're both fantastic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, you saw it in Philadelphia after they won the Super Bowl. They lose Frank Reich.
They've never been the same.
They lose John DeFilippo to Minnesota. And the mix and the,
you can't find it.
The way the player development went on offense. Look at Carson Wentz's career after Frank Reich and John DeFilippo. So the quarterback's coach. And the I think DeFilippo was either an offensive assistant or he was somewhere on the offensive staff. Frank was the quarterback's coach.
Right.
And things changed dramatically for Carson Wentz in that offense. There are a lot of other circumstances involved, injuries and player availability and salary cap constraints and all of that. But I just think it's an example of how much things can shift and change when the same person is not filling that role. And I'm not saying it's not something that can't be overcome, but I think it's a lock that it will be different.
Yeah.
So I think for Bills fans, this has to be selfishly a sigh of relief, knowing he'll at least be back in the fold for 2021, and that, the trajectory of this offense can continue on its ascent rather than have to deal with an interruption kind of
thing.
Right. You know what I mean? Especially knowing that right now it's the side of the ball that carries this football team, even with the improved defensive play.
Right. Well, it's improved in the second half, but that, you know, this exact opposite of what we thought we were going to be. So we thought the defense would continue to carry the team. It was a top two. It was an elite defense last year in the league. And then it wasn't. And all of a sudden, the offense is lighting up. Josh is throwing for 300 yards every week where he's never done it before in his entire career. Yeah. Now he's doing it every week, and he sprinkled in a 400-yarder there too. So, you know, everything changes year to year. And think about this team. The staff stayed intact with one exception. The defensive line coach came in this year, right?
Yes.
So they had one change. Right. So they come in. Everything is intact. The coaching staff is the same. They sprinkle in Steph Diggs, Gabe Davis, Zach Moss, Vernon Butler, Mario Addison,
Darrell Williams,
and the other defensive line, Vernon Butler. And
Quentin Jefferson.
And Josh Norman. Now, they're going to have at least that many new faces next year because a lot of these guys are on one-year deals. You know, Trent Murphy's deal is up. You know, got stuff like that going on. But the recipe with the coaching staff the same, just – new players filling in.
Assuming Leslie Frazier doesn't get one of the jobs.
The whole perception of this football team changed with the same coaching staff. Think about it. It went from defense and a little offense to this offense and a defense that was improving. Everything changed. Now they're better this year. But that recipe is going to change next year too.
Yeah,
that's why I told you last year, man. You got to love this team because this one ain't coming back. Next year, it may be just as good or maybe better like this year to last year.
Coach McDermott says it all the time. Every year is different, and he's right. It is.
And you don't. I mean, we thought we had you and I sat here and we thought we had a huge handle on who this team was going to be. You know, we thought, Josh going to make a little bit of improvement. He'll get up into
the portion of the program where we tell everyone how wrong we were.
He'll get up to about 63-64%. You know,
that'd be a nice jump for him.
It'd be a good jump for him. Zach Moss will help. Nice power run. It's going to be good. And then the defense will hold it down. We'll, you know, right.
What the hell do we know?
You can't tell. We didn't have no preseason games.
Not only that. Yeah, that's my next point. With no preseason, I don't think we really knew what this team was until we got to about week 6 or week 7. Week 8. You still didn't really have a true handle on who they are or who they would become, especially at this point in the season.
Couldn't believe, you know, this team all the way back then at the beginning of the season. I mean, you know, the Bills, they show up and they take on the Jets. I mean, okay. They win by 10. Nice. You know, that first month of the season, Bills are 4-0, and they beat the Rams and the Raiders in back-to-back and scored 31, 35, and 30. I mean, they're scoring and 27 against the Jets. I mean, they not once last year did they do that.
Yeah.
Not once. And Josh, remember, Josh was sprinkling 300, 300, 410, 300.
Four touchdowns.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
We didn't even know. We had no clue what we were going to get.
No idea.
And that was because of the change in chemistry that we've been talking about now. And I get it. I mean, certain guys are a big part of it. I mean, when you're talking about a nice bowl of chili, the ground beef is important. Yeah. Josh is the ground beef in the offense. If you take him out, everything's done.
And it's not chili.
Right. Same thing with a coordinator. Daboll is a main ingredient. McDermott is a main ingredient. Now, you can sprinkle in a little salt and maybe change out somebody, but like an offensive lineman here and there, which they did all year. But I'm telling you, man, they've got to be just doing – cartwheels over the fact that their coaching staff's going
to remain
intact.
I think they have to be pretty happy with that. Now, Leslie Frazier is still up in the air as to whether or not he'll be offered the Texans head coaching job because he's in the mix down there, along with the Chiefs OC, Eric Bieniemy, who just interviewed yesterday, with special permission from both the Chiefs and the league because the window was supposed to be shut after Sunday for teams still in the playoffs to have their coordinators interview. But I think
it'll
Andy Reid is so dead set on trying to help Eric Bieniemy get a job, he let him do the interview on Monday, even though the window
yesterday,
by league rules closed on Sunday. So
interesting.
He's trying, and you know, Andy Reid was even asked about Bieniemy yesterday. Are you stunned that the guy still doesn't have a job? And you look at Andy Reid, he just looked exasperated. Like, I don't know what else I got to do. So then he talks about, you know, what he thinks of Eric Bieniemy as a coach, probably for the 20th time. And he finishes with, I wish my son could have been coached by Eric Bieniemy. Now, this is a guy that's won like 260 games at the NFL
this guy
level.
Has lost a son.
And lost a son. So saying something like that, like, what more does Andy Reid have to do to convince you this guy is head coaching material? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I'll say this.
And Eric Bieniemy is 51, Steve. He's not like one of these 37 or 38-year-olds right. getting these head. He's 51. The guy has been ready for 10 years.
Yeah. The only time that Bieniemy actually resurfaced on my radar was the last couple of years in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I knew, you know, he was a running back in my era.
Right.
You know, actually, was young in my era. And
Cincinnati. Yeah.
So I was like, okay. And he stayed in it. The first time I've ever heard him speak was post-Super Bowl on the field. It's still on social media if you want to go look at it. Eric Bieniemy in a post-game interview after the Super Bowl, they started talking to him about his team. And to hear him in that interview, you get a sense of why he's ready. Articulate, smart, serious, professional, just every leader, insightful, you know, just on it.
Yeah.
Right. And that to me was like, you know, what's he doing? Yeah. I get it now.
Yeah.
From that one interview, I could tell. And then, and I was thinking about this too. You kind of hope Eric Bieniemy gets it because it hurts them and helps us because Leslie won't get it.
Yeah.
Because Leslie'd be good down there too.
Right.
You know, he would really be good down there. But I mean, the problem too is I don't know if either one of them was smart, maybe they both turn it down. Because that is you are starting your first day, they take you in an elevator and go to the bottom of the well, and that's where you'll begin. You're at the bottom of a big, long, dark hole.
Well, the only thing that fixes that is something like a 5 or 6 year contract. Like, you're asking me to take on a sinking ship and start bailing.
Like, no, not a sinking ship.
From the first day.
The Titanic is not only on the bottom of the floor already, it's also rusted out.
Yeah.
That's the ship that you're taking over.
Yeah.
Good luck, buddy.
You need a few more years of commitment from you as an organization. If
this is not going to be a quick fix.
It's not a 1 or 2 year fix.
It's not going to be a quick fix.
They don't have a first or a second round pick. They got a quarterback that's ticked off. And their best and most visible player has an albatross of a contract that you're probably going to have to get rid of.
And he can't live up to it. I mean, he's not that good. And you got no money to spend, by the way.
Oof.
Oof.
Oof. We also have some other news concerning the Bills Mafia and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson tweeted out some thanks to Bills Mafia for all of their support of his charity in Louisville, where he played his college ball, the backpack program for kids, providing meals for kids that really only eat when they're at school.
Right.
So he sent out a tweet thanking Bills Mafia for all their support. I think it was up to $360,000 last I checked. In terms of the money raised there. So he was clearly appreciative of their efforts. So good on you, Bills Mafia, for doing right by Lamar's foundation and giving him well wishes for a speedy recovery after suffering the concussion in the divisional playoff here on Saturday. So once again, Bills Mafia shining a positive light, only on themselves, but on the Bills fan base at large.
Some nice notes sent along with their donations, like sending love sending Buffalo love to Lamar Jackson from Bills Mafia. Another one, a gesture to show we care about Lamar Jackson and his charity. Another one, Bills Mafia member just showing some love. Here's to a speedy recovery to Lamar. Go Bills.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. And then Lamar at the top says, appreciate that, Bills Mafia. It means a lot, not only to me, but to those kids as well. And, you know, I got to say, in the world in which we live, this little moment in history that we're at, how about the NFL being better than anybody else, right? I mean, you know, Bill's
fan
base,
it's nice
they're
to
showing
see
some, you know.
Doses of humanity like that. It really
big
is.
Big dose. Across fan bases.
It's heartwarming.
You know, it's almost like, you know, in the midst of all this intense competition on the field, the NFL and their fan bases are more united than the rest of the country is. Or the rest of the country is willing to reunite over football more so, even across team lines, than they are anyplace else. So that's nice to see. That's pretty cool.
Strong program for you today. Coming up in a little over a half an hour, we've got ESPN's Diana Rossini. She was here at the game last week. I know she was impressed by the roar of the crowd, shall we say. And, you know, she's been up here a few times. She knows all about Bills Mafia and everything. And so we'll get her thoughts on last week's game and on the one ahead in the AFC title game. So it'll be good to talk to her. And then coming up in about an hour and a half, Hall of Famer Kurt Warner will join us. And we'll obviously be talking to him about Josh and Dable and maybe some of the dynamics that Steve and I were just discussing in terms of keeping that pair together for another season in 2021. And then our Twitter poll today deals with the Bills and Chiefs rematch from week six. As we're asking you today, what's the biggest change in the Bills from their week six matchup against Kansas City? And there are choices there for you at One Bills Live. So check those out. Either give us a call, 803-0550. Lines open for you there, or hit us up on the tweet sheet. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, back in a moment here on a Tuesday edition of One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live Tuesday edition, about 30 minutes away from ESPN's Diana Rossini joining us. And we'll also have Hall of Famer Kurt Warner joining us in the final hour of the program a little bit later. But we need to talk to you at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Open line for you there as we discuss our Twitter poll today. What's the biggest change in the Bills from their Week 6 matchup with the Chiefs? We do have choices for you at One Bills Live on the Twitter page. So go there. And the choices are A, injured players are now healthy. B, the defense has improved. C, Allen is more polished. Or D, something else. And the early returns on the voting have defense improved, leading the way with 42% of the vote. Injured players now healthy is right behind it with about 39% of the vote. Allen more polished, a little over 15%. I went back, Steve, and looked because I could not remember who was in and who was out of the lineup. Obviously, we know that John Feliciano was still on injured reserve with the torn pectoral that he suffered right before training camp opened. Milano, so he was not in the mix. As a matter of fact, both guards are going to be different in this game than they were back in Week 6. In Week 6, the starting guards were Cody Ford and Brian Winters. And on Sunday, it'll be John Feliciano and Ike Butker as the starting guard. So that's two changes right there up front. Dawson Knox was out with a calf injury, so Tyler Croft played in that game in Week 6. We know Matt Milano was not in the lineup as he was dealing with the pectoral muscle injury.
Right.
And Levi Wallace was on IR with the ankle injury he suffered in Week 4 against the Raiders, and Josh Norman was starting. So those are four pretty significant players. I mean, Milano, Knox, Feliciano, Levi Wallace. Four guys out of the mix in that game for the Bills in Week 6.
John Brown was fighting a knee injury.
Right. That so he played, but was ineffective.
Zero catches.
Four targets, no receptions. So John Brown, Matt Milano, Dawson Knox, John Feliciano, Levi Wallace. You list all the names, it's pretty significant, I think. So I think choice A should be in the running, as it is in the early returns and the voting from the fans that are voting on the Twitter poll. It made a difference. I think it makes a difference. And when you have players, and we've heard Leslie Frazier say this, the difference that Matt Milano makes, knowing he can play every snap, he's a three-down player, can cover, fills in the run game, can blitz, all of those things. And let's not forget this. Tremaine Edmonds wasn't 100% healthy either. He was still dealing with that shoulder injury that was compromising how aggressive he was in terms of his tackling. I mean, I distinctly remember one play where he actually shuffled to his right to use his other shoulder on a tackle. You know, that's how he was playing differently then. Right. I think we can all safely say that.
Right.
So you roll a less than 100% Edmonds into the mix. I mean, you can make the argument, Steve, that in the front seven, Edmonds and Milano are the two most irreplaceable players in the front seven. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Front seven, most irreplaceable
two players
no doubt.
On Buffalo's defense. No doubt. One was out of the game and one wasn't right. So
right.
I think that makes a dramatic difference.
I think difference. At that time, I can't remember, like A.J. Epineza was not playing at all maybe at that time. He was still a healthy scratch.
Yeah, he was still a healthy scratch for the most part. Although Trent Murphy was inactive for this game, so this might have been the start of that.
Right.
But
and this is when the Bills kind of just invited the Chiefs
to run the football. Yeah.
And they did with impunity. They rushed for, what, 290 or
245.
Something? 245. And
which I think is still the season high this year. So.
Right. And the Bills couldn't stop it. They weren't ready to stop it. Even though they got the Chiefs to do what they wanted, they weren't up to taking advantage of it defensively. I think that's changed. I mean, you saw what they did against Baltimore last week. Baltimore, in my opinion, is a more effective rushing team than the Chiefs are, and the Bills got it done against them. We'll see if they've improved enough to do that against the Chiefs, if indeed that's their game plan.
Yeah.
You'd think they'd have a different one. Most of these teams do.
I think it will be tweaked significantly.
The interesting part is, can you put together a game plan that forces the Chiefs to do something they don't like to do, and then if the Chiefs adjust and do something that you're ready, do you have a backup plan, right? Can you adjust on the fly? That's the crazy part, and that's what the Bills have done extremely well, and, of course, the Chiefs obviously have done that as well. So all of these things, are questions to be answered.
Now, if memory serves, just to be fair and look on the other side of the ledger, I believe Sammy Watkins was inactive. Yes, he was. He was inactive for this game with an injury, so he did not play. And there were a couple other players that did not play, but they had most of their heavy hitters in the lineup for them. Their offensive line was fine. Their defensive players were all good and in the game,
right?
As I can see, as I'm looking at the lineups here.
Think about this.
They did suffer a couple of offensive line injuries. Mitchell Schwartz went out with an injury, and they had to put their backup right tackle in. Then they had to put their third string tackle in.
In this game, Josh was 14-27.
Yeah.
Two TDs and an interception. It was bad. 23 rushes on the day. 8 of them were from Josh, 15 of them for Singletary and Moss. They just couldn't get anything done. Yeah. Couldn't do anything.
He missed on some throws. I mean, he had some opportunities to make some plays, missed on some throws. And I know you were a big proponent of the fact that this was kind of the tail end of the scheduling mess that the Bills had to endure. You know, there was a stretch there where they didn't know who they were playing, what day they were playing before they ultimately played against Tennessee in the wake of their COVID outbreak and had to go play Tennessee on a Tuesday? And then they played the Chiefs on a Monday at 5 p.m.
Right.
So this was the back end of the scheduling snafu due to the Tennessee COVID outbreak. And I know you felt that they just weren't right for the Tuesday game that they played against Tennessee
They were all out of sorts. They were all out of control for that for the Tennessee
and
game.
And then this was a game that they had to get ready and play 6 days later.
Yeah, I mean,
on
a Tuesday afternoon, but it was
5 p.m.
Right. It wasn't like get ready. I mean, 6 days is enough time. But 6 days is enough time, but a 5 p.m. start and you know.
And players are creatures of habit, especially in the NFL with the weekly playing.
I don't cut them much slack for the Chiefs' loss.
Yeah,
it was a good team. They didn't play very well, and credit the Chiefs for a lot of that. And but the Tennessee game, I would have liked to have seen that game in a normal week. I think that would not have been 42-16. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and yet. With 6.5 minutes left, it's a one-score game. It's 23-17 Chiefs, and the Bills' defense can't get off the field. Right. And they ultimately give up a field goal with 1:56 left. They go down by 9, and then they can't answer.
That was all it was, yeah.
And that was the end of the game. But
totally. The Chiefs had 73 offensive plays against the Bills, and the Bills had 50.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, you're just not going to win.
Right. And I think Leslie Frazier, when he was asked about, you know, what did you guys pull out of that game? What did you learn? His first two words were, a lot. We learned a lot from that game, which gives me hope. And I know I said it on the show yesterday, Steve, that this coaching staff is very good at course correcting their team when they perform in a way that is below their standard or deficient in some area. They're really good at course correcting. And I said it last Monday. I said, I expect the defense to play significantly better in the divisional playoff against the Ravens, and they did that. And I think the offense is going to play significantly better in this matchup against the Chiefs than they did last week. You know, where putting points on the board was harder to come by. Granted, against a very high-quality defense, big, strong, long, physical.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that the Chiefs are the same kind of defense that the Ravens are. They're just not that rugged, you know, punchy in the mouth kind of defense, but they have playmakers.
Yeah.
I almost kind of see these two teams as mirror images because this Chiefs defense isn't great at holding teams down in terms of yardage, but they make the timely plays, whether it's Tyrann Mathieu or, you know, Frank Clark or Chris Jones. They have these guys that make plays in a timely fashion, and the Bills have largely been that on defense in the second half of the season.
Right. I think when Leslie Frazier sits there and says, well, we learned a lot from it, you automatically think, oh, they got something on the Chiefs. Well, for coaching staffs, the important things they learn mostly are about themselves. And what the Bills probably learned in going up against Kansas City was a lot about the personnel they had. I mean, after this game, it was when A.J. Klein started to play better because they stopped asking him to do what Matt Milano did and started asking him to do what A.J. Klein could do. That was a difference, and stuff like that. Now, certainly, the things they learned in that game about themselves helped them in subsequent games. But and also, you can look back and say, okay, now we got a handle on what their offensive line is like, what their defensive line is like, some of the things that we can do that they struggle with, and that we have been reinforced in subsequent games down the line. So, all of that stuff goes into the pot. But yeah, that there's no question that playing a team once gives you a handle on what you can get accomplished to them on them in later games. And I think it does say something that Leslie Frazier was willing to say, yeah, we learned a lot.
Yeah.
And I think they learned a lot about the Chiefs, and they also learned a lot about themselves.
Right, which makes the game plan for Sunday is just fascinating.
I know.
Fascinating.
Right? It really
is. I can't wait to see it.
Because neither one of these teams are going to – I mean, the Chiefs are going to do what they do. No question about it. They're going to do what they do. But they probably won't do what they do in the same way you've seen them do it before. Because Andy Reid will go in there and say, you know, I like this, but let's do it out of this, and let's do this instead. You know, and that, you know, it's kind of a kind of the mad science creativity. Daboll's shown great creativity, particularly in red zone offense. I remember I went back and looked at some of the games, and we're going to take a break here, but – There was a game there, the Denver game. There was the Rams game in this game where the Bills seemed to score like 50 touchdowns and only three of them counted. You remember that? When they kept getting in the Rams game, they scored like three times and one
Broncos
of them finally
too.
Counted. In the Broncos game, they kept scoring touchdowns and it was all on these different. It was a different play every time, and so that kind of creativity is all a lot of fun to think about. You might get a load of that in this game from both these coaches.
Break time for us, but when we come back, we'll get to your phone calls. So Gary in Las Vegas, Dave in Florida, hang tight. We'll get to you when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Time for Reed's Milestones. Reed's Gens, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. Wide receiver Stephon Diggs has played in 18 games this season, counting the postseason, and has caught at least six passes in 17 of them. That is an NFL record for games with six catches or more in a single season. And he had eight more receptions in this last game in the Bills' victory over Baltimore to advance to the AFC title game. We want to get to you on the phone lines at 803-0550 as we are asking you on the tweet sheet, what is the biggest change in the Bills from their Week 6 matchup with this Kansas City squad? So we go to the phones, and leading us off today is Gary in Las Vegas. Gary, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having my call. I believe that the Bills, I think they were still in a young infancy stage when they played Kansas City the first time. They weren't firing on all cylinders, for one thing. Also, if you look at how the Raiders were able to beat Kansas City, you know, they can be beat if the Bills play a good game, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting what has been the biggest problem for the Chiefs in terms of some of their matchups this season. I would say the teams that run the ball really well have proven to be hard outs for the Chiefs this season, and that's why a lot of people thought Cleveland would have a shot, because they do run the ball
and
very
Cleveland
well.
Did have a shot.
Yeah, and they did have a shot. You're right, Steve.
Yeah. There's no reason – and I know that I get the mindset for people. That this Chiefs team's really good, and we've watched them for a couple of years now be really good. They should have gone, could have gone to two straight Super Bowls. That's how good they are.
Yeah. They were an offside, lining up offsides.
They're lining up offsides away from going to two straight Super Bowls. And they're hitting on all cylinders, as you would expect. But don't think that if the Bills go in there and play their best football, that they can't beat them, because they can. That's how good the Bills are this year. Now, certainly the Bills need to prove it again and again and go on, you know, and do it year after year like the Chiefs have done. But this is a year where the Bills have, have hit on all cylinders and are playing better and have won games in more different fashions than I think a lot of people gave them credit for. They've won defensively like they did this last week in the divisional round of the playoffs, mm-hmm. and they've lit it up like they did against the Rams, like they did against the Seahawks, like they did against the 49ers, like they did against the Broncos. And the Bills have played a gauntlet of a schedule, a very tough schedule, the toughest one of any of the four teams remaining by far. So all of those things put together should give you confidence that if the Bills go in and play their best, not only going to be in it, they're going to win it. And that's how the team is going to feel about it. And I'm sure that's how the Chiefs feel about it. If they feel like the Bills are going to come in and play, the Bills are going to play their very best, the Chiefs will say that they got to play their best to beat them.
Yeah.
No question that if you've watched the Chiefs, and I've watched a ton of their games, albeit, you know, not the broadcast, just the condensed version, kind of got a feel for what they're doing. The Chiefs are in this spot where they've got a gear that a lot of teams in the league don't have. And there were games that they won, and you never thought they had to take that extra gear. And they've won a lot of their games, 4 points, 6 points, you name it. I mean, they just won a ton of close games. And if you go down, I'll give you an example. Here we go. The Chiefs, in the last, they lost their last game week 17 when Chad Henne played. But before that, they won like eight, nine in a row. They won by, starting with the Bills is when they started a big winning streak. They won by nine. Then they won a big one against the Broncos, won a big one against the Jets. They won by two against Carolina. They won by four against the Raiders. They won by three against Tampa Bay. They won by six against Denver. They won by six against Miami. They won by three
a lot of
single against New
score
Orleans.
Wins.
They won by three against Atlanta. I mean, that's single digits all the way down, and except for the first couple out of that gun. So they were trying to get to the postseason so they could turn it on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give them that benefit of the doubt because to me they earned it. So if they've got an extra gear that the Bills can't match, yeah, they're gonna beat the Bills, even if the Bills play well. But if the Bills play their best, they're going to beat them.
Yeah.
They're going to beat them. But good teams make you not play your best, and that's what the Chiefs are.
All right, break time for us. But when we return, ESPN's Diana Rossini will join us. She's a big fan of the Bills' train horn. I think she's even got it as a ringtone on her phone. We'll check to confirm when Diana joins us next. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.